Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 240, recorded from the DeFont Leroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island, in sunny southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Mike?
I got allergies. I'm a little under the weather, Mr. Klinsman, hence the reason why we're recording a few days late.
Yeah, a couple days late, and we'll get it up. We'll still get it up here just a day late. We won't miss a week, but... Yeah, you told me that you got hit hard. What now... I know fall doesn't really happen down there, but what, like, the some of the plants go to seed or
yeah,
the pollen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Gets,
I got it really bad, really bad in the winter because they said that we had the worst pollen in, like, 60 years, and I had it really bad then.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday took, like, a little nap, and I woke up, and I had a sore throat, and I was coughing, like, within an hour.
Do you think you could be sick, or it's definitely allergies?
I think it's allergies because Susie hasn't gotten anything yet.
Oh, okay.
And we shared, like, a fork the other morning for breakfast, so...
Mm-hmm.
And she's one that, if we're close quarters, she always gets whatever
she'll
I have.
She'll get
so,
sick.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever taken anything for the allergies?
I'm taking Benadryl right now, but it's not really working.
It's not helping out. Hmm. Maybe you
but
need
I
to take,
hurting.
Like, the over-the-counter, whatever, Claritin over-the-counter or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking. That's what I'm taking, actually, Claritin.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, you can hear it in your voice a little bit. I mean, I was kind of listening for it, but you got the
sniffles. Yesterday was worse.
Yeah.
I slept pretty much all day.
Did
you? I didn't even have a beer. Susie goes, you know you're sick when you don't even have one beer.
Yeah, that's true.
I slept in the spare room, had the weather channel on. But you know I enjoy that because I like the noise.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I slept in the spare room. I put the post-game on, listened to Pedro. And
yeah, that wasn't a very good game, was it, yesterday?
David Price is awful.
Oh, how bad is that? Like, Judge hit that first home run, and I was like, all right, I'll chalk it up. Judge is just on fire right now. And then Sanchez hits one. I'm like, oh, boy. And then he has a little rally going.
Boom. He's awful, isn't he?
He gets in his own head. I don't know what it is.
I mean, did you hear Pedro giving him advice the other day?
No, I didn't.
Basically about how when you pitch against the Yankees, you have to change the way you pitch.
Oh, okay.
He said, like, when he was in his prime, he used to be 97, 98 all day, and then when you pitch against good hitting teams, you got to change your approach.
Makes sense.
But I don't think there's a lot of guys that can do that.
No, not
There's not
too
a
many.
Lot of Pedros who can completely change the way they approach a game.
And still be the best pitcher.
Right.
Well, obviously,
like Pedro
can.
Could have went over to a knuckleballer and still been, a top three in any rotation. That's just
yeah,
how
he
good
just
he
knew
was.
How to pitch, yeah. Sale did a pretty good job changing it up. You know,
yes.
'Cause he didn't have his top velocities, but he still struck out 8. He did good in game 1.
Yes, he did.
I'm not looking forward to losing the next 2 in Yankee Stadium and going home early because I think that's what's
going to
happen.
I thought going in that that's what was going to happen. I think it's time now for them to get rid of Dombrowski.
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen's a disgrace.
I think he's doing to the Red Sox exactly what he did to the Tigers. Good regular seasons and you can't win in the playoffs.
Right. He didn't build a complete team.
No,
he did a good job building
a
decent team, but
yeah.
Not a complete team.
And this guy had a hard-on for David Price from day one. I mean, ever since
oh,
he
yeah.
traded for him in Detroit, I mean, what was going through his head to make him a $30 million a year guy is beyond me.
And what are they going to do with him?
Nothing. He's going to re-sign.
Yeah, he's got to opt in. It's not like he's going to opt out because he won't make near what he makes in Boston.
He might not even make a team.
He's a good enough regular season
yeah,
pitcher
right.
that he'd make
yeah,
any
he's,
roster.
He's a, he'd be a 4 or 5 anywhere else.
No, I mean, he
I
pitched great
two.
In the second half. He pitched great. He had an ERA under 2
yeah,
from
what
the All-Star
playoff contender is going to go after him.
It doesn't matter. If you could throw 180, 200 innings.
Which you know, I don't think he's been doing. Has he? Did he do that this year?
I think he did. He didn't miss too many starts this year. I don't know his stats off the top of my head. But
I think he's a prima donna.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dan Jamin.
He is not a Jamin.
You know what's sad?
What's that?
Last night, you know, you go through the, a week ago we were doing this, a week ago we were doing
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
I was saying a week ago, Mr. Regano almost died.
That's true.
But
a week ago tonight, we're at the top of the world.
Yeah, that's right. No, this was last night.
Yeah, last night.
I said that.
Yeah. That would have been bad. That would have been a tough trip review to do, wouldn't it?
Who would have made that phone call?
Did you even have contact information?
I guess with her on Facebook. You can't send a Facebook private message, though, can you?
Well, that's the last resort. Do you know his passcode to get into his phone?
No.
See, we would have had that. Next year, we're gonna have to take emergency contacts.
Yeah,
and stuff
we're gonna have to get emergency contacts. I mean, we're all before this trip, we're all gonna have to fill out paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Schaefer basically guaranteed himself a spot.
Oh yeah,
being a paramedic. I mean, yep. If it was just the three of us, that he would be gone. We'd be I'd be back down in Florida going to his funeral this weekend.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe we could grab another round or something.
Speaking of, you must have lights out on Thursday.
I was
back
awful.
On that rye grass.
I was awful on Thursday.
Worse, really?
Yeah, terrible.
What happened?
I figured it out on the last five holes. I was standing too close to the ball, so
yep,
I took
that's
a little.
Exactly what I was doing. Yep.
I took a little half a step back.
What were you smoking and everything?
I was standing too far. Excuse me. So I scooched in a little bit, and then I started hitting good the last three or four holes. I played good. I couldn't get the ball in the air. I was topping it. It was awful.
How many pods did you do?
Not too many. I was not happy with the way I was playing. I putted.
You didn't
good,
do
though.
Any pods?
No, I did. It was a scramble, so I was helping out with the putts and the
chips.
Oh,
that's how you do the pods, especially in a scramble.
Yeah. We were 9-under pods. That's not too bad.
Pods.
Left a lot of shots out on the course pods. Oh, boy. Can't make you laugh. That sounds good. That'll be fun to edit. Is that why you asked me to edit this week? Because you're going to be hacking up a lung halfway through?
I'll try to hit the mutes.
Oh, good. All right.
I'm trying to see what I can do with the coughing cam. What do you call that thing, Pards?
The cough button?
Yeah, I'll just see what I can do with the cough button, Pards.
Hmm. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
Sure.
So this morning, or actually it was the afternoon, I guess, I went to Stop a Shop to pick up some groceries for the week, and I went to the one in Connecticut right down the road instead of the one in Westerly.
Where is this?
In Stonington. So it's because I was going to the Westerly Packing, and this Stop a Shop's closer. So I made my list in my head, got all the things I was going to make for the week because I made all my meals for the week today. And so I had everything.
Meals for the week, like dinners?
Yeah, I made all my dinners.
Is that what you do?
I did it once in a while. I don't always get a chance, but I did it today. So I had my list, and I was walking through getting everything. I went by the beer section, and I saw.
Did you check your list twice, Pards?
I did. I made sure I got everything. But listen to this one. Even you, as someone who hates the beers that I drink, you have to at least smile about this. It's by Harpoon Brewery, and it's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee porter.
Cream and sugar?
No, this porter is our tribute to all the days that Dunkin' has helped us fire up the brew kettle. And then on the back of the bottle, you know how they leave the check marks on the coffee?
Yeah.
If it says, it has all the check marks. It says classic porter, Dunkin' coffee, dark brown. Espresso, dark chocolate aromas, roasty malt, and smooth. This is a 6.0 alcohol by volume. It's actually pretty good. Tastes like pretty much any other coffee porter, but I had to get the Dunkin' one, didn't I?
Yes.
I'll take a picture of it, and I'll post it up later so you can take a look at the label.
Okay, I'll watch. I'll look for it.
That's pretty nerdy, yeah. So that's it. Anything else you want to add here before we take a break?
No, I think we're good, Pints.
All right. Time to make the donuts.
Time to make the donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts are always fresh.
I made the donuts.
We make them at least twice every day.
Time to make the donuts.
Not a few kinds, like supermarkets.
Make the donuts. Time to make the donuts.
But up to 52 varieties.
The donuts. Time to make the donuts. I made the donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts, up to 52 varieties, fresh day and night. No supermarket can say that.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode number 240 of the Por Favor podcast. And in this week's episode, we're going to do a quick little news update. There's a couple news items we wanted to touch on. And then in the coming weeks, we'll get into our many, many, many trip reviews that we have. We have a lot of things to go over, don't we?
Yeah, and I think I gave a little teaser in the first part, didn't I?
About what? Top of the World, Shula's, all that stuff?
About Mr. Regano.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a big chunk.
People will be I hope it's next week. I hope it's next week.
That'll probably be the first episode of the review, I would
More
imagine.
Than likely, yeah.
We'll have to get
Although
Schaefer
we do have a lot to talk about the Clarion.
That's not bad. That's so far ago in my head.
Yeah, I know.
And the All-Stars, like, we had a lot of good things to go over. We did a lot of good research. So dumb. But anyway, so for this week, we're going to, like you said, you're under the weather. We're late here. Still kind of adjusting. I still have jet lag from the trip.
You have jet lag from staying on the same coast?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm joking about the
jet lag. All right. I wasn't sure.
So the two things we're going to talk about this week are some changes. The first change we mentioned a couple weeks ago when it was a rumor about Artist Point changing over to character dining at the Wilderness Lodge, which is another place we hung out at, which was a great evening, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it was very nice.
And then the other thing we're going to talk about is the change to the Walt Disney World tickets that you could buy online, which doesn't really affect you as an annual pass holder, but I know you love this kind of, like, the price changing and how they're kind of doing the pricing differently. As someone who's a numbers guy, you must like to talk about this, I would imagine.
Correct.
So what do you want? Do you want to do Phil first or the tickets first?
You pick.
First?
You're hosting this.
All right, let's do the tickets, and then we can end on the high point. So this is on Disney's official website. I'm going to go through it quickly. It says, at Walt Disney World Resort, we're constantly looking for new ways to deliver the best experience possible for our guests from the moment they book their vacation through the very last attraction they visit in the theme parks. With all there is to see and do in our parks, we know guests are increasingly looking for options that fit their individual needs. Beginning October 16th, so next week, a week from Monday, on DisneyWorld.com, guests will be able to access our new vacation planning destination and purchase tickets priced by the date of visit. These changes are designed to simplify the booking experience. I don't think that makes it simpler. Give guests an enhanced way to purchase theme park tickets and help them more easily plan the Disney vacation of their dreams. For more information, visit the Disney Parks blog. Says, what's new about the online vacation planning destination? Guests will be able to access a new online vacation planning destination that features park offering overviews, travel tips, custom suggestions based on each guest's personal preferences. But really the part we're more concerned about is the date-based tickets and pricing structure. So it says, we are also introducing date-based tickets and pricing. Guests may purchase tickets online by calling the Disney Reservation Center or visiting any ticket or guest relations window, blah, blah, blah. If purchasing tickets online, guests may use an interactive online calendar which displays different prices based on the dates guests choose to visit and states that the tickets will need to be used during a specific time period. The calendar also allows guests to quickly see the lowest priced days within a month. For example, prices may be lower during off-peak travel periods. Why are they moving? Our parks have increased in popularity. There are more and more guests who wish to visit. Introducing date-based ticketing will allow us to better distribute attendance throughout the year so we can continue to improve and deliver a great experience. Basically, and then it goes on to say any tickets you already have are still valid. It's only going to be going forward, so you're grandfathered in. They did give some examples. If you click that link where it says visit the Disney Parks blog, you can see some of the pricing in the video, but we're not going to watch the video right now. So
it's probably not.
So what do you think about this whole experience here?
I love it.
It's basically like booking a hotel now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, obviously like Monday through Thursday is going to be cheaper than Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the same thing's going to happen for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a problem with them doing it. And plus, you'll be able to see in real time what days they expect to be slower. So, like, you can go and look at the pricing and say, oh, hey, they're only charging X amount for this day. That means they don't have a lot of sales for this day. And then you might decide to go up because it's going to be less crowded.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't like about it is they're claiming it's going to be less confusing, which I don't think is true. I mean, because then you have to pick, most people who buy the tickets and they're only going for a few days, they're buying for specific dates anyway, and you're not going to change it around. But the fact that if you buy a one-day ticket, you have to use it on that exact day you purchase it for, like, loses all your flexibility. If you buy a two-day, you have, like, a 3 or 4 day window to use the 2 days. So you can't extend it out to the 2 weeks like you used to be able to. Like, if I bought a 3-day park hopper, it doesn't last for 14 days anymore. So, if, say I was coming down to visit you, and I flew into Orlando early, and then I went to the parks for a day, then I went to visit you for a week and wanted to go back and do the parks for 2 more days, I wouldn't be able to do that anymore with a 3-day ticket. I have to buy 2 separate tickets.
Correct.
Which, I don't like that aspect of it, because you used to be able to... You know, they only expire 2 weeks after first use. Now they're going to expire 3 or 5 days, depending on the length of your ticket. You know, a 10-day ticket lasts 2 weeks, but it goes down from there.
Right.
So some of the restrictions they're putting on it, I'm not a big fan of, but there's a chance that this could even save money for people if you plan your vacations properly. And also, it may be able to... Especially if it's specific parks, like when Star Wars opens, if all of a sudden Hollywood Studios is $150, but I can get a ticket to Animal Kingdom for $75 for the day, that would be appealing to me. Save a little money to go, not go to Star Wars, you know what I mean?
Are they showing the ranges, though?
I haven't really seen too much of the ranges. So I don't think the prices are going to go down much, if at all, but I imagine... this is a good way for them to not have to just raise prices across the board. They can raise them on individual days, on weekends, things like that, and be able to raise prices overall and not have to actually just put out a ticket increase. But this also means they never have to do a ticket increase again if this system takes off and works, if you think about it. Because then they'll just keep incrementally upping how much...
certain days.
The days are until eventually everything's at least 125 or at least 130, whatever it ends up being. So now they don't have to go and announce we're raising ticket prices. You just look out ahead and see what the prices are, and that can change the next time you look, like airline tickets or hotel prices, things like that. So people are going to be wanting to jump on this stuff a little sooner, potentially. So you're not going to want to play the game. Like, if it seems like it's a decent price and that's when your vacation is or could be, you're going to buy the tickets, and then, you know, hopefully they don't go up, or if they go down, I don't know if they'll refund it like an airport. I don't know. Like I said, though, for annual pass, it doesn't really affect you. But as a numbers guy, you have to be at least intrigued by this thing going on.
I think what I like about this is now it's going to be predictable of who's going to be at the parks on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been their problem, is that they've just had so many big crowds on certain days, especially weekends, Food and Wine at Epcot.
But I don't think it's going to change it that much. Do you think it's going to be able to push people around? Most of the reason for those big crowds on like Food and Wine is because all the AP people come in.
No, but I think they're going to make their money with less people. That's obviously why they're upping the prices certain dates. You know what I mean?
Right. I think if they really wanted to, if they were really that concerned about guest experience, they would just keep increasing annual pass, because I'm not saying it's a problem. I like the annual pass, but it's almost too attractive of an option. Makes it too easy for people to go on a whim. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, instead of having it, like, I don't know why they give a discount to Florida resident. I don't think they need to at this point, because you're not going to not buy your annual pass if you had to pay the same as my parents
do
for theirs.
I think some people would, though.
But that's fine. Those are the people they don't want anyway, right?
I don't know. I think if you look at the APs, I think why they give a discount, I think they know that we just go and we just eat food and spend money. I mean, if you think about it, Kristen and I aren't really holding up ride lines.
No, but
we're filling up empty restaurants.
But there's a lot of people who are the exact opposite, who will go if they can score a fast pass like 2 or 3 days before on something they want to do, and they go and ride 3 rides and leave.
I think they've done their research, so.
I'm sure, but I think
they know what the locals do.
I guess, but I don't know. I just feel like the annual pass, maybe they have to cap it. I don't know. It just seems like there's too many of them. If there's obviously a problem with attendance, if they think attendance is too high, then I think raising or getting rid of the Florida discount would help them cull those numbers a bit. I don't think you'd notice a huge difference in the parks, like as far as it wouldn't be dead all of a sudden, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they could still offer it on specific dates, but maybe not like the full platinum pass that you have, there's no discount. If you want to do the ones with blackout dates, then that is where you get your Florida discount, things like that. But I don't know. Obviously, if they wanted to or needed to, they would do that. It's not like I'm the first person to think of that.
Right.
Are you ready to move on to the next topic here? Do you have anything else you want to add? So I'll take that as a yes. So beginning December 16th, Artist Point will introduce a unique character dining experience where every evening an opportunity to meet Snow White, the Queen, and other characters in a setting that brings the beloved film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs to life. The current signature dining experience will be available through November 10th. And please see below for the signature dining menus that will be offered after December 16th when Storybook Dining with Snow White at Artist Point begins. So it looks like it's going to be a prefix. I don't know what the price point is at this point. But you're going to get appetizers, shared appetizers for the table, which is four different things. Do you have this up, sir?
Yep.
So there's a winter squash bisque with caramel, loli, and granola. That sounds pretty bad to me. So it's a soup, a squash soup, which I don't like anyway. Then they have hunter's pie, which is chicken, black truffle, and stone fruit preserve. So like a little, like a chicken pocket, like a chicken pot pie kind of thing. A wicked shrimp cocktail with soy, miso, avocado, Thai chili, and greens. That sounds fine. And then a salad from the garden, fruit, vegetables, cheese, and create your own honey butter. I don't know what that means. Like a cheese plate, I guess, fruit and cheese plate. So that's fine. Good shared appetizers for the table. I don't know how you share a soup. Do they bring like a small bowl for everybody, presumably?
I would assume. I don't know.
I would think so as well. And then the adult entrees, you get to pick one, obviously. And they have a seafood stew with shrimp, bay scallops, mussels, tomato, and fennel. So that sounds pretty good to me. A royal prime rib roast with horseradish mashed potatoes, hay smoked carrots, a popover, and jus. That sounds good. A stroll through nature, which I think is their vegetarian option. Butternut squash, arugula, gnocchi, and sage and parmesan. Brothers Grimm roasted chicken with confit potatoes, roasted Brussels sprouts, apples, and chestnut butter. That sounds pretty good. Magic Mirror slow braised veal shank, celery root, mashed, wilted winter greens, and jus. Sounds okay. And Bashful's butter poached snapper with a root vegetable risotto, wild mushroom, and citrus butter sauce. That sounds okay too. Anything there really jumping out at you?
No.
Prime rib. It's very simple. They've definitely dumbed down the menu.
They did. Yep.
So it's like a high-end character meal, but it's kind of dumbed down from a signature. So I don't know. Be interesting to see what the price point's going to be on this. The kids menu, they have a prime rib, princess pasta with red sauce or cheese sauce, grilled chicken with potatoes and broccolini, a vegetarian steamed bun with crisp shiitake, hoisin, pickles, and cilantro, and chicken tenders available upon request. And then we have a shared desserts for the table, which is the Miner's Treasures, which is sponge cake, chocolate gems, and buttercream icing, so just a cake. A poison apple, a white chocolate apple mousse with a sour center. That sounds pretty gross. A fairy tale gooseberry pie, which is meringue and gooseberry. And Hunter's Gift to the Queen, which is a cracked maple popcorn with a ganache heart. So those sound okay. So you get all the desserts at the table as well. So maybe they're like little small samples of each thing. Not sure. Be interested to see how that all works out. But I assume because of the characters and because of what some of the entrees are, what do you think? Like $60 for adults?
It's got to be at least that. If 65, not more.
Maybe 79 for adults. You think it could be as high as Cinderella Royal Table pricing?
I don't think they can go range quite there.
So between 55 and 70 maybe?
Yes.
And then the kids will be whatever, $35 or something. I mean, you're not necessarily going to be ripped off for that. But you could do a lot better with that amount of money at other restaurants. You know, I could find something to eat there if I went with the girls.
Oh, yeah, I got no problem. I think the menu is fine.
But it's not as good as Artist Point.
But it's a turf club.
Right, it's a
smaller menu. And the turf club's menu. $40 a head, you know?
Right,
so.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not for you anymore.
Correct.
You know, they've changed it. They don't want you going there anymore. They want me going there with my daughters.
Now I'm looking at their regular menu, and I have to try this because it's come highly recommended. The 14-ounce Berkshire Pork Porterhouse.
Yeah, so you're going to try to go once more before it closes, right?
Yes.
As a kind of last hurrah.
I almost want to go twice because I'm also eyeing this wild halibut paella for two. Doesn't that look delicious?
Yeah, except for the fennel. Oh, maybe I like fennel. You don't like the fennel. Wild halibut paella. I love paella.
Yeah, that looks good, doesn't it?
I would love that, yeah. Not too bad. I mean, there's a lot of good options there. And actually, you look at the prices, they're not that bad.
No.
It's probably the lower end of a signature.
Of the signatures, exactly.
As far as the price point goes. And then that soup that you really like, right? The smoked mushroom bisque.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I figured that would have carried over.
I would have thought so, too, because it's such a signature item.
I wonder if you'll still be able to get it at the Territory Lounge, but probably not, because they share the
kitchen. Or if they can move it, like, outside over to our place.
Oh, that place was great. Jamming.
Yeah, jamming.
You liked that place, didn't you?
That was good.
We'll talk about that on a future date.
Those chicken wings were so damn good.
You can't find chicken wings.
Those were so good, too. They weren't lousy chicken wings.
Right. Yeah, you were very happy with that.
I was happy jamming.
Anything else you want to add to the storybook dining here?
No, what do you think of the menu?
You know what? If I'm going to go to I prefer having a character meal like this. Because I did two, like when we came up in June, I did two character meals. I did the breakfast, which was like this, where you get appetizers for the table. You order your entree.
Right.
You don't have to get up. The characters come to you. It's a little better quality food. And you only get one thing, but it's more, I feel like you get a better quality. And then we did 1900 for dinner, which is a buffet. And, you know, there's a lot of options, but nothing is really great. Nothing stands out.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not getting a seafood stew or the, you know, the prime rib. They did have the prime rib, but, you know, you're not getting the same.
Yeah, it's a carving station. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So I prefer this. If the price point's there, if it's, you know, $59 or $60, you know, it's a lot. Go with two adults and two kids, you're going to end up spending 200 and something bucks for dinner. But what is that, about 30% more than you would spend anyway?
Right.
Chef Mickey's is about the same if you went for dinner. You know, maybe, like I said, 20% less for Chef Mickey's. So I prefer this way of going than the buffet. Because you kind of just sit back and relax. You don't have to get up. You don't have to worry about missing the characters coming over with the kids and everything.
I'll tell you what. I'll give it a try after the new year, and I'll do a review.
Okay. And I assume
because I do like that. I like that seafood stew, and I do. I mean, you can't go wrong with a nice prime rib.
No, and even the butter poached snapper, I'm sure, is good with the risotto.
Right.
Veal shank, roasted chicken. The roast chicken sounds pretty good too.
What is a veal shank? I don't think I've ever had one.
It's like a. It's with the bone in, so it's like
a turkey leg.
Well, no, it's not that. It's like the, like if you get a pork, like a nice big thick pork chop with the bone sticking out. I think that's what the veal shank is. I think it's like that. Let's see. I'm Googling veal shank right now.
That looks good.
Yeah. The veal shank has the circular bone in it, like right in the middle. Yes. You'll have to just Google veal shank. You'll see. It's a good cut.
Oh, that looks nice.
Yeah.
So it does look nice, Bill.
So there's some good options. It's not bad. And you know what's going to happen, though. It'll be popular and people will be asking for hamburgers and pizza, and they're just going to dumb down this menu after 6 months.
Yeah, just say this is too fancy.
Yeah. You know how it goes. Can't have nice things.
I just hope this thing fails because the next thing you're going to... Nakusis, Citricos are all going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Although those are constantly difficult to get into. As much as you like Artist Point, I mean, you could go up there 10 minutes before you want to sit down and get a seat. So it's dead.
Yeah, Nakusis does do a pretty good business.
You know, it's not like they're going to change California Grill. That place, you can't get a reservation. Nakusis is not impossible, but it's not easy. You can't get a reservation every night to Nakusis or Citricos or Jico, for that matter. So, yeah, I think you don't have to worry too much about those going away, but it's not a good sign. You know how things can kind of get the momentum going at Walt Disney World. So I understand your hesitation there.
I just leave my food alone.
Yeah, exactly. That's your favorite thing.
Leave my food and then leave Carousel of Progress.
Yes, exactly.
Leave a few of those alone. Anything else you want to mess with, go ahead.
That's right.
Yeah, dear Jamie.
All right, let's take another break and we'll come back and wrap up this short episode here.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
Hi-ho!
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho! It's home from work we go. Hi-ho! 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 It's home from work we go.
All right, we're back from break. You just got through listening to episode number 240 of the Por Favor podcast. We did a couple quick news updates. Mike's under the weather. We didn't want to go too in-depth on our trip preview, which we'll do in the coming weeks. We got a lot to talk about from last weekend.
And it was a three-day weekend.
It was more than that. I got there Friday. I left Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's 5 days by my math. How much of a weasel am I? Oh, I'm just going for the weekend. I was there for 5 days. That's a long time.
Yeah, I like the way you went about it, though.
You like that? That was a good move, wasn't it?
That was a good way to go about it.
I'm pretty happy with it myself. It was good times. A lot of good times were had. So we'll get into that in the coming weeks. We could probably stretch that out till Christmas, all the preview episodes, if we really need to. So I don't have anything
else. I think
else
you
to
wish
add.
You had a do-over on that one, Pods.
All right, on that note. You can find us online, Facebook, Twitter, at Por Favor Podcast. Our website is porfavorpodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. You should be able to find us by searching Por Favor Podcast. YouTube.com/Por Favor Podcast. Got some good video of Top of the World that needs to go up in about a year and a half, right?
Correct.
That's good. Got some good fireworks. Oh, the fireworks from up there were fantastic, weren't they?
Oh, wasn't that Hollow Wishes or whatever good?
Yes.
We'll get into that
as well. Yes, they do call it that. Email the show, info@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com. Mike?
You can email me, Mike@porfavorpodcast.com, or you can follow me on Twitter @porfavormike.
All right, that's going to do it for episode number 240 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los Podcasts. From my co-host Mike down in Florida, my name is Gary. Have a great day.
A great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
Shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.